Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gujarat State Fertilizer and Chemicals Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. S.K. Bajpai and S.C. Verma. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. We are pleased to welcome you all to the earnings conference call of GFFC. We appreciate your participation in the GFFC Quarter 2 post-result conference call. I trust that you must have reviewed our findings and the other presentations that have been posted on our website as well as the stock exchanges. We are happy to inform that your company has achieved a standalone highest-ever Quarter 2 PAT of rupees 303 crores. Also, second-highest-ever Quarter 2 PBT of 391 crores, and second-highest-ever first-half profit after tax of rupees 395 crores. However, company's turnover fell by 13% in Quarter 2 and 6% in H1 on YOY basis. The main reasons for reduction in turnover are reduced subsidy rates and lower DAP and urea trading volumes. However, operating margins rose from 7%-11% in Q2 and 7%-9% in H1. The company achieved this performance despite ongoing external challenges in fertilizers as well as industrial product segments. First was subsidy rate for P&K fertilizers fell significantly year-on-year in Q2 and H1, with ammonium sulfate falling by 38%, ammonium phosphate sulfate falling by 35%, and DAP falling by 24%, resulting in reduced P&K fertilizer sales realization. However, the government declared one-time special package of DAP of 3,500 rupees per metric ton on October 24, which provided much-needed support to industry. The government is also prompt in releasing the subsidy, and we have received subsidies up to the second week of October. Contrary to this, cost of essential inputs such as natural gas, ammonia, and phosphoric acid are on an increasing trend. Presently, phosphoric acid price has increased to $1,060 per metric ton for Q3 current financial year versus $948 per metric ton in the Quarter 2 current financial year. International prices of DAP have now stabilized in the range of $640 per metric ton. Soaring exchange rate of USD/INR is also a cause of concern for the industry. Geopolitical tension in the Middle East and Red Sea crisis are causing delay in the arrival of vessels of DAP and other input materials. Considering the other factors, cost-effectiveness of local phosphatic fertilizer manufacturers is likely to be jeopardized. The company responded by boosting capacity utilization, increasing sales of manufactured products, and optimizing product mix in both segments. Fertilizer output went up by 16%, 1.21 lakh metric tons during first half on YOY basis. Good rainfall during current monsoon and enhancement of minimum support prices by the Government of India for six major Rabi crops will enhance demand for agri inputs in the upcoming quarter. The government is also pushing the industry to supply more DAP. Hence, the company has finalized the import contracts of about 1.25 lakh metric tons in the upcoming quarter. We are targeting sales in the range of 5 lakh metric tons in Quarter 3 current financial year. In case of industrial product segment, acrobenzene spread reduced to $620 per metric ton as against $673 per metric ton on YOY basis. However, the demand of our major industrial product is likely to remain stable to firm during next quarter. The turnover of industrial products in Quarter 3 2024-25 is expected to be higher than Quarter 2 2024-25. Commercial production in HEC crystal plant has been commenced with capacity of 20 metric ton per day on 11th October 2024. The melamine domestic and export markets are expected to improve during quarter 3 current financial year, even though competitive imports of melamine are likely to pose a challenge. The organization is adhering to its strategic objectives with regard to capital expenditure. It is anticipated that sulfuric acid 5 project and urea to revamping projects will be operational at end of the current financial year. Further, we are trying for part availability of cheaper solar power from GIPCL after part commissioning of their 75 megawatt solar power facility at Bastan, Gujarat. The facilities are expected to be fully operational by May next year. I would like to express my gratitude for your patience listening to my overview. Yes, we will now commence the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirav from Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a few questions. Sir, when we discussed last quarter, you mentioned that since it was the start of the season for the fertilizer, we had to offer some sort of discounts in AS and ASP. So just wanted to understand from you that were those discounts withdrawn by us, and because our sales volume for both the fertilizers also looks pretty good. So just wanted to understand from you that what was the situation on the discount part A and B, what was the average EBITDA what we have clocked for both the fertilizer grade? Because earlier you used to guide that for both the fertilizers on an average it used to be around 2500 to 3000 rupees a ton. So if you can just share your views here.
In case of discount, yes, we have slowly reduced the discount over the period as the market started taking the fertilizers. As you know, the season was delayed, so real sales happened lately, but now it's been nearly zero for both the products.
Got it. So, sir, what was the EBITDA per metric ton for both these grades put together in Q2 of FY25?
It is near about 2,500 rupees per metric ton.
Got it. And because now those discounts have been withdrawn, we can see further improvement in quarter 3, because you also guided 5 lakh tons of fertilizer production in Q3. So this would help the margins to improve in Q3.
No, we are not certain, because the sulfuric acid prices and ammonia prices are going to increase in the next quarter. It is very difficult to predict that same margin will continue for the Q3 also.
And PA prices also increased. You know that PA prices have gone up by $110 per metric ton. That will impact the cost of production. Yes, the prices, the market will start responding to this increase. And let's hope for the best.
Got it. So, sir, just to continue here, based on the production numbers what we have reported, I think our quarterly requirement for sulfuric acid this quarter was close to 1,75,000 tons. And I think what we are having current capacity is close to around, on an annual basis, close to around 7 lakh tons. So, you rightly mentioned that there was an increase in the sulfuric acid prices globally and also in domestically. So, does this build up in the prices for or increase in the prices of sulfuric acid doesn't help us to increase the prices of both these fertilizer grades, and how much we are currently buying from the outside market so far as sulfuric acid is concerned?
So as you know, the sulfuric acid 5 project what we are under construction, that will be operational at the end of the financial year as per my opening remarks. So whatever the deficiency in the sulfuric acid for the period from October to March, we have made tied up with the other companies as a long-term solution. So we are receiving this sulfuric acid at a competitive price rather than going on the spot. And as you know, the spot market is very volatile and is very costly also. So we have made arrangement of sulfuric acid for the 6-month period till the time our sulfuric acid site project becomes fully operational.
Got it. But the number of 175,000 tons of sulfuric acid requirement is pretty near to what we have actually consumed in Q2, or the figure is slightly different?
It depends upon the production of ammonium sulfate and ammonium phosphate sulfate in at our this fertilizer Nagar complex, and ammonium phosphate sulfate in at Sikka Jam Nagar. So depending upon the production over there and here in fertilizer Nagar, we procure the sulfuric acid.
Correct. But then government doesn't allow us to build up those cost increases in our MRPs, or let's say the subsidy doesn't go up, because what we can understand from you that there are only two players who are producing this, and being a critical water-soluble fertilizer for the farmers, doesn't this allow us to pass on those cost increases to the customers or to the farmers?
We are in a competitive market. There are different grades of water-soluble available in the market. Yes, we get the subsidy based on the NBS rates for NPKS, and we have to move subsidies. That is only the MRP is where we function based on competitiveness in the market. So that is going to remain for all the products which are water soluble mostly.
Got it. So second question is on, you mentioned that our contracted price for phos acid, and this for Q3 was close to 1060 per metric ton. And with the shortage of DAP currently in the market, does it provide a chance for us here to increase the MRP, or there is a fair chance that government would increase the subsidy here so that our per ton margins are not impacted? You mentioned last time that even DAP were making losses at the EBITDA level. So if you can help us understand what was the situation in Q2 and how do you see the things forward?
Yeah, as I told that DAP in the last interview also, the DAP was not a very cost economical thing for us to produce here by purchasing of phosphoric acid. So we have shifted our production to ammonium phosphate sulfate and other NPK grades of fertilizer at Sikka unit. And as far as the requirement of DAP is concerned, we have tied up with the foreign suppliers for importing the DAP of 125,000 metric ton, and we will be receiving Q3. However, in Q2, if you have heard this my opening remarks, the lesser revenue, one of the reasons of lesser revenue is that we did not incur any trading of DAP. So that was one of the reasons. So that's why this our revenue turnover was 13% below in by basis.
Correct. And because the 3500 rupees per metric ton increase in the subsidy was effective October, was Q2 being still at a loss at the EBITDA level for the DAP?
No, it is effective from 1st April, if I am not mistaken.
Okay.
This 3500 is effective from 1st April to 31st December 24. And this one more factor came from the DOS for the compensating the loss, if anything, due to the import of DAP. That is effective, I think, that came from 1st of October. And if whatever import we are doing, and if there is any loss incurred by the company, then this will be compensated by the government.
That is on the trading only, but on the manufacturing side, this subsidy increase of 3500 will take care of our profits, or still the profits are not at the reasonable level to...
And profits are not at the level, that's why I told that we have shifted already to the APS production in case of DAP. That is as simple as this.
Got it. And sir, last question from my side is... Now, on the urea part, how much we are currently losing at the EBITDA per metric ton level. And once that energy conservation measure is implemented, which would reduce our GKL per metric ton, how much of this EBITDA per metric ton could be recouped?
Hi, this is Rajesh sir. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. With regard to the urea, as everybody knows that the government has not implemented or revised the fixed cost, and the fixed cost is based on, you know, and company-wise for each industry. So that's the portion, because variable cost is being passed through. So that's the portion which affects every company. So I is also the case where we get hit about 1,000 to 1,200 rupees per metric ton on the EBITDA side.
Correct. And this energy conservation measures, what we have been implementing or is in the process of getting completed, would this 1,000 or 1,200 rupees per metric ton would help us to save some of the fixed cost, because then our urea capacity is also going up. So is there any chance of recouping some of this EBITDA per metric ton loss?
That will also do some sort of help in the respect to covering up this differential. Over and above, government is also in the process of revising that, and they have asked for the data of the fixed cost from all industries. So they are in the process, and once they get completed over with that process, they will come up, they might come up with increase in the fixed cost per metric ton part also. So that process is on, and we have already submitted the data for the same. And let's see once they come up with their calculation and finalization of the increasing fixed cost.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and wish the entire team all the best.
Thank you, Anjana.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shanmugam, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sir, thank you for the opportunity. My question is slightly on the cost. I see employees' cost has sharp reduction, sir, approximately by 50 crores. Is there any one-time cost that has an impact? Or do you expect the same, you know, reduction in the coming months as well?
No, this is the one-time cost. Actually, what we have provided something because of the pay revision and bonus payment, there were some certain adjustments, but it is not a regular feature. So it is a one-time cost.
So there is an entry for 50 crores, am I right?
What?
There is an entry for 50 crores, entire is due to that one-time adjustment? Let me put it this way, can I expect the employees' cost in line with the previous quarters?
Oh, just a minute, let me see. So, this is 250 crore over in 23, and now 30th September 24, there is the personal cost is only 185 crores. Is it right?
Yeah.
250 crore was the earlier in 30th September 23 when we have made the provisions. So that's why this cost was higher in the 23. And now it has been reduced to normal level, and which is 185 crores.
Okay, great. So it's going to be, it is current norm, it's going to be the same in the coming month, am I right?
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah, that's fair, sir. And second cost element, raw material cost, I see there is a drop by 1.5% on sequential basis. So I, in the initial remarks that I understand that, you know, we may not, you know, sustain in the coming months here and there. If I look at in different perspective, so can we at least stick to 63% of material cost in the coming months, or it will be like last year, it will be 65%? Sorry if I'm wrong in numbers.
No problem, but this raw material cost is an increasing trend, I guess, as I spoke in the opening remarks. Main raw materials are in sulfides, P2O5, phosphoric acid and ammonia. So both the costs, if you see the internationally, ammonia pricing and the phosphoric acid pricing is in rising trend. So anyway, this raw material cost will go up. And as our production is higher in this quarter, So that is also the impact on the higher raw material cost.
Is there any value engineering that we can expect and, you know, to see, to sustain this, you know, to offset the hike in raw material costs in the coming months?
It is very difficult to say because the hike in the fertilizer, the prices are determined by the government subsidy and the MRP both. If there is any increase in the cost, we have to adjust somewhere either to shift the production of other products or we have to absorb the cost. But we manage this through the product mix changes so that yes, we are keeping it in control.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I understand from your opening remarks as well. Because of the product mix, we could offset the higher cost. So in that sense, can we maintain this 11% or at least 10% of EBITDA in the rest of the quarters?
Yeah, we see it's 7 to 8%
will remain in
the same line.
Sorry, sir?
You are talking about that
EBITDA
percentage, no?
No, what I was trying to say, we do expect raw material cost increase in the coming months, that we agree. And also I understand from you that there is a product mix changes that given good improvement in EBITDA. So the hike in raw material cost can be offset by your product mix changes in the coming months. So
yeah.
ideally, what you achieved 11% EBITDA can be expected in the coming months. Am I right, sir?
See, you are not getting clearly what you are asking. See, what we have said that we try to change the product mix to recover the hike in the product cost from the mix thing. And that is the best endeavor that we do. So we propose, we are assuming that we will be able to maintain our EBITDA margins in that case.
Okay. Can we, so 10% can we expect in the coming months as well as the EBITDA is concerned. Currently it's 11.6% is achievement. So even if you look at hikes in the coming, headwinds or something, this product mix could help for that and could be around 10% I can expect, sir?
We are not able to clearly hear you what you are saying. The only thing which we want to say that our endeavors will to see that our EBITDA margin is protected with the change in the product mix in spite of increasing the cost of the raw materials, and this will be on the best endeavor basis based on the market demand and supply both. So yes, our full efforts will to see that we at least get some EBITDA which we have got in this Q2.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I understand that power cost, there is a reduction in power cost that would I do appreciate, you know, cost controls for bill management. But you said that still there is a room and there is some positives coming on, and from next year onwards there will be good impact in next year, maybe in May onwards. That's fine. With respect to other expenses, sir, I see it's very neutral. It's a fixed in nature compared to last year and our sequential basis. Do we see any room for cost control on these areas, sir, other expenses? You can drill down a couple of elements that contributing more than 50% of other expenses.
What I see here, the other expenses are more or less at the same level in the quarter and as well as in half yearly basis. The quarterly basis is around 234 crores and half yearly it is 443 crores. So there is no difference as such, and we are maintaining the same level of the other expenditure.
Sir, my last question, on other income, how much portion that comes from your investment, sir? I see the balance sheet, you have a huge investment. If I ask you, how much portion that to be related to your investment income out of 150 crores, I believe. I remember, correct me
if I'm wrong. It is 150 crores. And most of the things the other income contains is the dividend received from the other companies and the interest on our access funds, whatever we have parked in the fixed deposit or with the bankers.
So the entire income from that accrual of, that investment, am I right?
It is I cannot say it is investment, it is a temporary parking of funds, whatever we are having, whenever we receive subsidy or something like that. So for temporary period, we park the funds and we receive the interest on that.
Okay, sir. Sorry, one question last time, which is sorry for that. With regard to cash equivalents, I see huge element in the balance sheet, about 2,000 crores, I believe. roughly I remember 2,200 crore, I believe. You have so rich cash company. You have any ideas, sir, to diversify this? To maybe to improve efficiency, or you know, to for from strategic perspective, do you have any ideas on to share?
No, we cannot get what you want. Will you please repeat?
In the balance sheet, I remember there is a cash equivalent more than 2,000 crores in the balance sheet. Am I right, sir?
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
So you have huge, you know, cash as ideal. Do you have any plans to invest into improve efficiency or to improve, you know, verticals?
Whatever the cash we are having in the balance sheet, it will be used for the our expansion project, which is lined up as per the investor presentation. Two projects we will be commissioning in the year end. So where 400 to 500 crores is required to be paid. And then after phosphoric acid and sulfuric acid plant, we are projecting at Sikka unit. That cost 1560 crores or so. Okay. And over and above the Dahej project, we have already got land, and that study is going on, and we are immediately starting our finalization of which product and which project we will be going to install there. And so whatever the money we are having, it will be applied for the expansion of the project.
Great, sir. So what is capacity utilization as of now for the current year?
Capacity utilization is
more than 100%. More than 100%. So, yeah, I understand. So, all these expenses that you are looking for CapEx will be effective from the next year onward?
Whatever CapEx we are having, 565, I thought that it will be required to be paid at the year end. And afterwards, as per the progress in the project, we will be utilizing the fund.
No, I mean, when it will be converted into a number, the CapEx, could be next year or not, next January?
Yeah, because all these projects are for the captive consumption. So there will not be a direct one-to-one link that sulfuric acid 5. So whatever the sulfuric acid will produce over there, it will be consumed internally. So it will be having impact on our bottom line rather than the top line.
Okay, sir. So, last and final, you said that annual guidance in the last town calls, I do remember that volume perspective, there will be growth of 20% to 20%. Hope that we stick to the same number. Am I right, sir?
All right. You said the growth in the turnover, right?
Volume base, yeah.
Volume. See, growth in the volume, see, if you see this quarter, there was some decrease in sales because of the market conditions here, and next quarter will be improving the sales. Yes, we are projecting still the growth of 20% to 20%. Yes.
Sir, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Just a reminder, anyone who wishes to join the question queue, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav from Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, in earlier discussions, you mentioned that put together everything like HX plant and renewables as well as the sulfuric acid and phosphoric acid plant, our capex was close to 2,200 to 2,300 crores put together. And I guess we have spent close to around 250 crores till March of 24. So if just walk us through how much we have spent till first half and what could be the numbers we should look for FY25.
First half we have expended I think 100 to 150 crores, and up to 31st March, second half, we will be expending around 400 to 500 crores because SA5 and UDR2 revamping, both the plants are slated to be commissioned in March or up to the end of this financial year. So mostly all the payments or final payments will be released up to the current financial year. And as far as this phosphoric acid and sulfuric acid project is concerned, it is at initial stage. So So there will not be any direct impact on the expenditure. But slowly, slowly after the detail engineering and the orders are placed to the detail engineering workers, no, then after the payment will start. Because the time period is also mentioned at up to March 27, I think.
Correct, correct. And sir, currently, I think based on the production volumes, I think our phos acid requirement, depending upon the grades we produce, is close to around 2 lakh to 2,50,000 tons in between that. So how are we currently placed? Because one, that capacity would be commissioned. So before that, currently, how much we are producing phos acid and how much we are currently buying from the market?
The phos acid is produced only at Fertilizer Nagar complex. There is no phosphoric acid plant at Sikka. What we are having the capital expansion project, the phosphoric acid and sulfuric acid plant is to be put up at Sikka for meeting the requirement for DAP and other NPK grades of fertilizers. So presently there is no phosphoric acid plant at Sikka unit. All the material is purchased from the foreign suppliers. As far as the Fertilizer Nagar complex is concerned, we are getting some rock phosphate from this RSMMS, and we are also procuring rock phosphate from the foreign suppliers and then the PA plant here.
Correct. So how much is our current PA production, sir, if you can share?
In Baroda, it's around 60,000 metric ton per annum.
Okay, okay. And for that rock phosphate, what you mentioned, we either import or source something from the domestic market, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
Correct. And sir, last question is on, you mentioned last time that Baroda complex consumes close to around 75 to 80 megawatts of power. And like 40% is from renewables. Rest, we are currently buying it from the grid. So has there any reduction in the grid cost or are we increasing our renewables? Because I think you mentioned that GIPCL is going to commission in June 2025 something close to around 75 megawatt of solar power plant. So how the power mix would look like once that supplies from GIPCL commences, and any cost reduction in per unit basis, what we have seen from our power buying from the grid?
So there are two plants we are proposing. One is at Charanka solar power plant of 15 megawatt. What that plant is proposed, commissioned by, in I think, by the end of this year, financial year. So that whole 15 megawatt we will be receiving for our own consumption. However, GIPCL of 75 megawatt plant, 50% of the electricity will come to us and 50% will go to the GSCL, the other partner.
Okay.
So in the GIPCL, our share is 37.5 megawatt. So there must be some power saving, because after this we start receiving the power, then we will come to know what is the rate and what is the sort of charges they are coming. But certainly it is cheaper than the current purchase, power purchase from the grid.
Correct. And the grid cost is what, close to 10 rupees a unit, or it is lesser than that?
It is, I think, 8 to 9 rupees per unit.
So similarly, if you can also help the power consumption in megawatt for our Sikka plant and how we are placed there.
Sikka consumption is around, it's quite less compared to Baroda unit. And presently we are drawing some power from windmill and certain from the grid. Because then Sikka operation depends on the availability of phosphoric acid and ammonia. So there is very important to how to do this thing. The project power cost you get is the weighted average. So from Sikka and Baroda both in the balance sheet.
Got it. So, but any idea on the total power consumption at the Sikka?
12 megawatt if it runs on 100% capacity. So, based on changing capacity, the consumption reduces because, yeah.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, for our industrial chemical segment, if you could give us some more color, what's the market scenario currently? And I think so, we were looking to move more downstream products for caprolactam. So where are we in terms of penetrating or improving our product basket?
But as you know, the IP segment or chemical market is very, it's still not out of good, and there is no very cheaper material is available from the China and other foreign countries. So we have to compete the cheaper material and cheaper pricing of the caprolactam as well as melamine in the Indian market. However, we are doing some actions or we are taking. For the caprolactam, we have commissioned this acid sulfate crystal plant. So HAS, one of the intermediates for producing the caprolactam, no, it will go to the for the production of HX sulfate, HX crystal plant, and that is 20 metric ton per day capacity, and that has been commenced from 12th October. The per annum capacity of both the plants, 1 and 2, comes to around 10,000 metric ton per annum. So near about top line will increase by 125 crores, and being a good margin product, we expect around 30 to 40% margin in this acid sulfate. So that will reduce the caprolactam availability in the market. So we will get benefited by this, and the new product acid crystal, which is 100% imported presently in India. Nobody else is manufacturing, so GSSP is the only manufacturer of this new product. So, being a put forward for the Aapnirbhar Bharat, no? So, that is a good step for the company is having.
Sir, can you come again for the number? What will be our annual savings with this commercial production of HX crystal plant?
Sir, I told that top line will be 125 crores on full capacity per annum basis.
Okay.
And 40% means 25 to 30 crores bottom line will be improved.
Okay. So when can we see the plant?
Segment, yes. Whatever we are having the break even or some few crores loss, that will act out.
Okay. And when we will be achieving the optimum utilization level, the ramp up kaise hoga? Kitna samay lagega?
Nahi, ho gaya. First, so we are operating at more than 100% capacity already. The second one is commissioned on 11th October, and it is near to 90% or 95% capacity utilization. And I am sure in the next month or so, we will be achieving more than 100% capacity in that plant also.
Sir, secondly, for the fertilizer segment, I think so. With Rabi season buying, I think so, in the anvil, what kind of volume growth, sir, are we anticipating going ahead for Q3 and Q4, and what is the what should be the trend going ahead, since for fertilizer we have more visibility than the industrial product?
In case of fertilizer for next Rabi, means Q3. Mr. Bhaskar has said in his opening remarks that we will be selling around 5 lakh tons of the fertilizer. Yes, we will be meeting that and maybe surpassing that, because Rabi is in full swing now. But from January to March, the fourth quarter is always a lean season for this thing, and mostly goes to the stocking levels in field. So it will depend on the prices of PA and ammonia at that time, how much we produce and how much we put in the stocking at the field level.
But overall, sir, hello. Yes, sir.
We have a growth. What we have indicated, growth in the volume should be there.
Okay, and our 1500 rupees per ton per ton EBITDA numbers is also we should hold on to that.
Yes.
Correct. So we have seen our raw material price trends, employee cost, these things remaining stable, and also your presentation also speaks for the same. So going ahead, do you think that these line items, the vagaries of raw material are now behind us, and we can look at these price trends to remain in the similar way?
So the international prices of all the raw material is very volatile. As you might have seen that current crisis, international crisis, no, part between the countries and Red Sea crisis. So this may impact the future scenario of the raw material availability in India and also the pricing. So it is very difficult to say what way it will go.
But sir, when we look at the key input cost movement, even year on year or even barring the June quarter, which is most of the imported phosphorus, ammonia, natural gas, benzene, prices have remained in a band only, sir. Correct me there, sir, when we look at the key input cost movement, slide number 5. So slide number 5, it speaks in that manner. That was the reason why I came to that conclusion.
This is a slide only depicting the capitulation and benzene spread. So, 5 number slide of the presentation.
Okay, sir.
Only capro benzene spread, and I have told that it has been reduced to $620 from $673 year back on September 23. So, capro benzene spread is reduced, and let us hope for the best that some improvement will be there in the next quarter or so. But we are not very much hopeful. That's why we are taking this step to divert the capro production, reduce the capro production, and divert the material for the new project called HEC Crystal. And we are also importing some direct anone, so that that anone can be directly fitted in our capro production one plant. So the benzene consumption will be lesser, because if you see the benzene pricing, no, it has been increased to 23% on year-to-year basis for the quarter. So benzene prices is very volatile. In comparison to caprolactam, benzene prices is much higher. That's why the spread gets squeezed.
Okay, sir. I'll join this. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question can press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yeah, thank you for patient listening, and I hope that we have given the satisfactory reply to all the investors who have posed the questions on the working of the company. And we will meet again after 3 months after the result of third quarter in January next year. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Anurag Service LLP, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.